Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Welcome one and all as we close out the week here on the Damage Report. I'm John Iderola. That's Brett Ehrlich. Brett, what do you have to say for yourself?
Happy birthday, Dana Manning. That's what I have to say for myself. Sorry there's no Game Busters tonight, but there is an open mic night on Discord for all you who want to show off your abilities, your talents, or just be heard. That's on the Discord tonight. That's my promo. There you have it.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. A lot of people gonna show up. I apologize. There have been a lot of requests for me to read a short story there. You would regret that almost instantly. But more importantly, and this is gonna weird out a lot of people who haven't been watching the show recently, I'm gonna be busy watching the WWE draft. But anyway, it should be a lot of fun. So I hope everybody does it. I don't wanna get spoiled.
I went to dinner last night with a friend, and we just talked about AI the whole time. And he was like,
"I should have been there.
Maybe I should." Yeah, it's right. It's near your house. And he goes, "I kind of want to rewatch Battlestar Galactica." So I came home and I started the miniseries Battlestar Galactica again because I watched it.
You have watched that before?
Yeah. Me, Sarah Hat. So the group is me, Matt, Mark Gannick, who was like the co-EP of Archer, and then Sarah Haskins, who just wrote 80 for Brady. We just would we sat around and just watched it every week after work. And it was the time when you have to go to Blockbuster and get like two DVDs in the set at a time.
I did it with friends, getting the DVDs sent via Netflix, actually. Just to date myself, we'd get very excited. Oh, we would occasionally get impatient, so we would go to Blockbuster and be like, "Do they have that specific DVD?"
We're old people. We would drink Sebica, like $4 wine. One time we got a paddle-shaped bottle of wine because it was cheaper and larger. Mm-hmm. It was great times. Okay. Great times.
Nice. Well, everybody, we are actually gonna be talking about things other than Battlestar Galactica today. In fact, we're gonna be mixing things up. I think we've done this once before. We had a good reason that has since evaporated, but we're gonna be throwing away our garbage people of the week imminently. So if you're on the podcast and you listen to this and you like it, even though this one's gonna be different than ever before, and you'll see why. We do this every week. Did you know that, linear people, podcasties, podcasters, podcastos? We do extra content. It's available live on YouTube and on Twitch, and we also put up the clips on YouTube. So you should definitely be checking that if you're not already. And you can get access to special content by becoming a member. Have we mentioned that? All of that said, I do have a little bit of bad news. We have to reschedule with Representative Zoe Zephyr. I apologize. I've been promoting that for a couple of days. The representative, thankfully, has not been fully expelled from the legislature, so meetings still come up. That's not gonna be happening today. But next week, we are apparently gonna find a time. And that just means that we now will get to respond to whatever horrendous moves they make against Representative Zephyr between now and then. So sorry, I know everybody's booing this man, but it's not up to me, I'm sorry.
Yeah, anyway, John is at fault.
She's right, he's wrong. In some way. Probably, that's probably what it is.
I just like the idea that she'd rather go to a meeting than talk to John.
and it's a Zoom meeting, so I feel bad. But anyway, we do have a lot of good news to talk about, so you're gonna wanna buckle up for that. And as you're buckling up, spare one finger to type out a message, a tweet, a comment, something, and send it to us, and we'll respond. And you might even get a $100 Blue Apron gift card. So with all that said, Brett, are you ready to do this thing?
Let's do it.
Okay. It's the end of the week, and so it's time to take out the trash. Brett Ehrlich, who is your garbage person of the week?
someone who's really chapped my hide this week, Michael Knowles, who has the most insane series of words about trans hypnosis porn. Take a look.
Sweet Baby Kazoo says, I hope the guest is Genevieve. Well, today is your lucky day, Sweet Baby Kazoo. Genevieve can shed some light on this phenomenon that frankly, as I've said on the show, I don't even want to look into, that there is a kind of pornography that is apparently a driver of the transgender identity that is so perverse that it constitutes a kind of hypnosis where men will say, I was a normal guy, I lived to be 41, 42, and I was basically normal, but then I fell into this kind of pornography and it essentially melted my brain. I had a nervous breakdown. Now I think that I'm a woman. So what is, among all of the types of pornography that lead to transgenderism, what is this hypnosis pornography?
What? What?
The worst part is I know all about this stuff. Because in an attempt to, for those of you who watch Game Busters every Friday night on twitch.tv/TYT, 5:30 p.m. Pacific and 8:30 p.m. Eastern. In an attempt to unleash the power of the mind, I looked into HFO, which is hands-free orgasm. And it's frequently done through hypnosis. So in the process of trying to figure out if this is possible in a very weird, dark corner of the internet, I know what he's talking about. There's this pornography where they hypnotize you and they first off start saying like, you submit, relax, submit. And then there's these ones, if you keep scrolling, that are like, they tell you you are a different gender, but you wake up still yourself. And if you're weirded out by it, you just stop listening. All of this is Michael Knowles just knowing he has to vilify anything transgender, and then knowing he needs to scare his weak, very wussy audience of people who are afraid of pornography, which they can avoid if they want. And so he puts those two things together and basically tries to convince his audience that being transgender is as simple as going to Pornhub.
Yeah.
Which it, I hate to break it to you, is not. And if you end up being transgender, I guarantee you, or discovering your transgender, whatever the proper path is, I guarantee you it wasn't because of the porn.
Well, look, no, I think, let's be open-minded, okay? This is the damage report, we try to be open-minded. I think that it is possible under very specific circumstances that this could work. I think that it would require sort of a comorbidity, so to speak, in that the only thing that would also have to be true, aside from that you watched this hands-free orgasm porn or whatever, is that you were also trans all along, like your entire life.
Yes.
I think that assuming that one characteristic, then yes, I do think that this could work. Has Michael Knowles ever Googled causality?
Never.
Does he understand the first thing about what a cause is, what an effect is, what the directions there are? My God, he is I often call these guys like clones of Ben Shapiro, and that is doing them a somewhat disservice because they do each have their own subgenre. He is a particularly stupid form of it, though. I mean, they're all stupid in their own way, but man, he would have you believe that he doesn't understand literally anything that comes out of his own mouth, let alone goes into it.
It's so good. And this is a guy who, like, he has been in movies where he played a gay man. So he needs to realize how slippery the slope is that he is on. Because if he's saying you watch something that models a behavior, and suddenly you adapt that behavior, I understand that he would kind of wish that that's the case because he is preaching nonsense and he wants people to adapt to the behavior of nonsense.
Yeah.
But the argument in this witch trial, Michael, goes right back on you because in your college films, if I'm using your logic, you are brainwashing people to be gay.
That's
true. Which if you ask your dear benefactor, Ben Shapiro, will get you disinvited to parties and is evil. And God hates it.
How did he even come across this thing? I mean, I know that they go looking for right-wing conspiracy theories online, but like, look, obviously I've never been to any of these sites ever, but even if I had been, I'm not familiar with this specific thing. How did he come across this? Or how did his viewers who have been led astray by it come across it? I don't.
I will tell you something about HFO, my friend. Is the first half is just a really good relaxing meditation. And that's what I take away from it. So you listen to the first half before it's like very like relax. And you feel yourself getting relaxed and it's really great. And then they're like, and now you're mine. And then it gets really weird.
That's funny. Awesome. I like the concept. I just wish that I was capable. Look, if we were to do a ranking of like the top 10 facts I desperately wish I could get a right-wing idiot to accept, I don't know where this would rank on it, but somewhere on that list would be trans people are not a new thing, okay? They weren't rolled out like new Coke. They've been around forever, everywhere, and not just trans people, but people of a variety of different gender identities and sexual orientations and all of that have existed as long as people have existed. They've been around far longer, by the way, than this very particular temporally contingent concept of right-wing grifting douche. So look, honestly, they've got the seniority on you, idiots.
And I was okay, last two things really quick. Hypnosis, even like in non-sexy weird hypnosis, they tell you it only works if you want it to.
Yeah,
obviously. All hypnosis, they say, is self-hypnosis. So there's that. And even the hypnotist will tell you that. And then secondly, tangentially related to this and their other gender bending crusades that they're on, you should watch my Rebel HQ video that came out last week where I show that Ronald Reagan actually hosted military drag shows for kids in the 40s. So
yes,
enjoy.
Fascinating. Before we move on to my garbage person, I just want to give people a little bit of behind the scenes of some of my flaws as a person. So you know, you were talking about like for hypnosis to work, you have to like want to be hypnotized. I know that this is probably me being ignorant and stupid. I don't even really buy that. I don't think it's anything at all. We used to have at UConn every year, there would be this very popular hypnotist that would come and do sold out massive shows. And I went, and a big part of the show is bringing students on stage to hypnotize them, get them to do crazy things. And like, not like to a totally unbearable degree, but the whole time I was just thinking, they're just doing stuff because they want to do stuff. They're not hypnotized. They're running around and barking like a dog because that's fun to do. So I guess I'm too much of a cynic, I suppose, to have fun. Anyway, with all that said,
it's true that if you get hypnotized and then your hypnotist dies during that hypnosis, you get promoted at work.
You're stuck. Yeah.
You're stuck. And you date Jennifer Aniston and you screw up your TPS reports.
That's what it was. That was a good movie. Anyway, also, by the way, you know, I've noticed you are more likely than I think anyone else to choose Michael Knowles specifically. I feel like he's more on your beat than he is on mine or other people.
We're both drama kids who turned into politics. And it's so hilarious that he abandoned probably all of his friends to be a grifter on the right wing because he couldn't, much like me, hack it as an actor.
Okay, with that. Let's launch into whatever this is going to be. My garbage person of the week is, and I guess kind of had to be, Steven Crowder. Let's bring it up. He's obviously, I think, rightly being attacked for the video that has now been unleashed of him verbally and emotionally abusing his wife. Here is a shot of the video. So here's the thing. I'm not gonna play the video, although you know I don't begrudge other people for playing it. And obviously I'm glad that we got access to it because it gave us a much better idea of the nature of at least a few specific instances in that relationship. as well as what he was talking about days ago when he was talking about being extorted or whatever. He was obviously trying to get out in front of this or maybe other videos. That said, I don't want to play the video because I don't know, it just makes me feel sick personally. And like, I know that like some people will click away because we're not playing the video and they clicked on it to see the video, but I don't care. The entire thing makes me feel absolutely disgusted in a variety of ways that I think I can identify, and then others that I can't. I hate every bit of it. I just do. I don't want to show it. I don't even want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about Steven Crowder as a general rule, and I think I almost never do. But obviously it's there, and obviously this is a particularly strong representation of the sort of male garbage that he has been for many years. So I don't know, Brett, take it away.
In ignoring this, you're ignoring the like pinnacle of reasons he sucks. Of
explain them.
Ways to expose reasons that he sucks. Because you know, the question is it all an act when he goes before everyone? The answer for this is not really. I understand that the thing that probably makes everybody feel creepy is that you're just a voyeur, you're kind of looking in on his private life, and there's something wrong about that. And so I totally understand, respect, admire the fact that you're not gonna play it. I'm not above any of that. I think that it's a great opportunity to not play it, but also call out that this guy is 100% undeniably the type that would play this kind of video if it happened to anyone else. And
yeah, that's true.
He like, what am I gonna do? He this guy, what am I gonna make a joke that's too inappropriate? This is Steven Crowder. He earned every one of these. This is a guy who like playfully reenacted Kyle Rittenhouse shooting people for funsies. That's it. And this is a guy who sits there and intentionally makes like the least appropriate jokes possible. And this is a guy who's like, he's like, listen, my wife, my life is hard. My wife needs to do wifely duties. When she says that his behavior of not letting her leave the house.
Yeah.
Which is what he's doing. When she says that is abusive, he literally says, watch it. He says, watch it like she's two. Tells her to do her wifely duties when she is already carrying his child or his children, twins. She's literally like barefoot and pregnant. And he's like, you're not doing your wifely duties. So what do you want?
Yeah, no, I look, you are only 100% right. I will fact check one thing. I am not playing it because I'm above it. I'm at best to the side of it. I just it's a personal choice that I'm making. I'm beside myself, actually. You could do an entire book breaking down this social interaction of the watch it, which says so much about what he thinks about his specific relationship. And obviously we know is reflective of what he thinks about the relation, the hierarchical relationship between men and women. But also clearly that is not the first time this has happened. Clearly he is attempting to ward her off from once again bringing up the word abusive. That's the way I read it. This is speculation or whatever. Yeah. But it seems like she has brought up the abuse she feels she has suffered in the past. And that is why he is so proud to be like, watch it, we're not doing that again. That's my speculation. But anyway, no, and then of course, look, hold on, because we have to make clear that people understand that what happened right after the video, apparently, according to him, again, I don't want to get into the details, but he follows her into the house and says, I will F you up, but the full word, she's 8 months pregnant. And he's threatening to F her up. If that was the only thing and everything else in that video was awesome, I think people would be right to think that this person is garbage based purely on that fact. But this is just the rotten cherry on top of a I can't swear sundae.
The dude has a beautiful pool. He's smoking a cigar on the lanai or his covered patio.
And right near his 8 month pregnant wife.
Right near his 8 month pregnant wife. And he's complaining that he has it hard. And he wants her to give medication to the dog, which she allegedly doesn't want to do because she says it's toxic to pregnant women. And he's like, put on some gloves and feed medicine to my dog. I understand, and I get it. I'll say, listen, there's a lot of people that have arguments at home, and this doesn't have any violence in it. Good.
There's been no allegations of physical abuse or anything like that.
And I will, and going back to your point about her saying abuse again, I think my conjecture, my speculation is that he doesn't know that you don't need to give a reason for getting divorced in Texas yet. He will later on his shows, when he when she wants to file for divorce, bemoan the fact that you can have freedom in Texas to divorce if you want. And the pro-freedom Republicans, who I would argue are anti-freedom in every single respect, he is angry that she is allowed to stop being married if she doesn't want to be married anymore.
Yeah.
He wants there to be some kind of legal burden
on
her, because he looks at her as property that needs to stay home and give medicine to his dog at his whim.
Yeah, like we're, you know what we could do, and maybe, you know, on a random day we would do, we would show you 5 to 10 of the absolutely most insane things he's ever said. I mean, to be clear, I did get one. He said at one point in a show, there are only male geniuses, just to give you an idea of the sort of person he is. He is the sort of guy that, not because of what he does all of this because he's broken inside slash he wants money. That's not what ruins a lot of my faith in the potential for men in the modern era. It's that he is appealing to so many young men. His stupid, ultimately even for him, self-destructive concept of masculinity is appealing to them. And it is a monumental task, socially, individually, for each and every one of us to push back against that. I think that it is 100% a worthwhile endeavor that we can and should engage in. But it's why I don't talk about him normally. It's why, by the way, when the story initially came out a few days ago with him and Candace Owens, I didn't talk about it then. Like, I just, it makes me so sick to think that people live this sort of life and then also encourage others to be that way, to be broken in that way, so that they can become wealthier, infinitely wealthier, because for this guy, even $50 million in a contract wasn't enough to satisfy him.
Yeah. And I say, anyway, let them fight.
Let them fight. It, and I say, this is fine with that. Yeah, that's what it feels like. We should have that, by the way, for our environmental segments. Anyway, that's my garbage person. But 50,000 of you voted this week for your community garbage person of the week. And we're going to give you the rundown. Coming in at number 5 with 1% of the vote, you have Elon Musk for removing blue checks for some people. Now, granted, it's more complicated than that. I don't think him removing the blue checks would even merit him being on the list. It's more the removing it, but not even really. You're still verified. You just, people can't see. So you're needlessly taking away the verification that is a service to the users of the platform by hiding it. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is he then enlisted beloved dead celebrities pretending that they are financially supporting his BS. Absolutely sick. So, but even then, only got him 1% of the vote. So, you know, bear that in mind. Coming in number 4 with 4% of the vote, you have Kay Ivey, governor of Alabama, for calling a pro LGBTQ education guide woke. It really is a get out of ever having to think about, let alone persuade people on, your values card. Just call it woke and move on with your life. It's so simple. It's like a weight's been like lifted from your shoulders. Anyway, coming in at number 3 with 15% of the vote, you have Tucker Carlson for doing our job by taking his garbage self out himself. So I considered making him mine just to recognize how much garbage he has been over the years, but I'm glad that you guys covered it. Coming in number 2 with 29% of the vote, you have Donald Trump for wanting to put the unhoused in a camp. I know that that's a thing he has talked about previously. I didn't even see it this week. That is how bad of a week it was that that passed below my radar. But remember, he might be president again soon, and he wants to do that. But no, number 1, you're a garbage person of the week with 51% of the vote, Clarence Thomas, for failing to disclose a new conflict of interest. In this particular case, I believe it's a reference to the fact that when he said, sure, I accepted millions of dollars in vacations and gifts and all of that, that may look bad, but don't worry, Harlan Crow never had any business before the court. That was a lie. He very much did. It would still be a complete massive conflict of interest, even if he didn't, but he did. And that makes Clarence Thomas your garbage person of the week. Thank you to the 50,000 of you who voted. Brett, thoughts?
You know, congrats to us for doing our chores early on in the show. Mm-hmm. Usually I wait till like midnight to take the trash out.
In the time since I last spoke to you all about the urgent need for legislation, at least 5 more children have lost their lives. How many more children need to die until you take action? I am determined to use my platform and resources to make a difference. And the Stop Institutional Child Abuse Act is where we need to start to address these abuses. I believe the greatest thing one could ever do is change history for others. And that is why I fought tirelessly for 2.5 years to ensure lawmakers understand the gravity of this issue on the state and federal level.
Look, there are times sometimes when celebrities, I think, waste the platform they have or engage in politics in a way that is not helpful. And then there are times when I think they use their platform to draw attention to something that is not being fixed and perhaps isn't even being talked about on a high level. And I think we have a case of that right here with Paris Hilton attempting to draw people's attention and hopefully shift Congress to do something about this institutionalized abuse, in some cases assault and sexual assault that she has seen, that she has experienced, and a lot of credit to her to doing that. She said on Twitter, after years of advocating to reform the troubled teen industry, I'm back in DC to introduce the Stop Institutional Child Abuse Act. This bill is so personal to me as a survivor, and I'm so proud we've gotten to this huge milestone. Apparently, she has been working on this for 2 years. Here's some details about what they want to do with the act. Pledges greater accountability and data transparency from the network of residential facilities under mounting pressure to reform due to revelations of rampant physical, sexual, and emotional abuse of children. The Stop Institutional Child Abuse Act would create a work group tasked with developing recommendations to minimize the use of residential care and improve treatment of youth sent to live in such settings. And so what you saw there was a little bit from a gathering that did not just involve Paris Hilton or the media, but also nonprofit advocacy groups, as well as a number of people who have experienced the sort of abuse that she's trying to draw attention to. She talked additionally about her own experience, saying that she had firsthand experience with traumatizing solitary confinement, being given sedatives, being like physically thrown around. She said, it's still so difficult for me to speak about all the extremely painful physical, emotional, and even sexual abuse out loud. So this is not the first time that she's tried to draw attention to this, even successfully, including getting legislation passed in Utah. As of right now, progress in terms of Congress on this bill has hit some roadblocks. They're attempting to break through that. And so we're gonna give you more details, but Brett, what do you think?
I mean, anytime celebrity uses their, anytime anyone uses their platform for good, we should at least do them the courtesy of listening to what they have to say. And you know, there's so much that gets a lot of attention in the news cycle that occasionally something like this will, and a lot of stuff that gets attention that shouldn't really get attention. But occasionally they point out something that AI didn't even know about, didn't really spend much time thinking about. And then when you find out about it, you realize, you then kind of run back in your mind what you think about the person who's sending the message. And a lot of it, you know, was definitely unfair of a lot of folks to, you know, to think about Paris Hilton, not knowing what she went through. And you have to respect her even more, looking at the fight that she is waging right now to make sure that those kinds of things that happened to her don't happen to anybody else in the future.
Exactly, yeah, and it's the sort of thing, you sort of touched on this, that like if you stop and think about it, yeah, you expect, oh, almost certainly, I guess that abuse probably does exist. It probably is terrible, but it isn't the sort of thing that I think a lot of people who have been lucky enough to not have had to experience that would think about. And so credit to her, credit to some of the politicians on both sides of various aisles who are trying to work on this. She was joined by Republican Utah State Senator Mike McKell, who was involved in getting the legislation passed a couple of years ago in Utah. For this renewed national push, Representative Ro Khanna and Senator Jeff Merkley are introducing the bill to Congress. And so that's good. However, there is still a very open question about whether it's gonna have enough bipartisan support. Now, you would think that objectively it's something that should be dealt with, but even look, that doesn't cause Congress to weigh in on most topics. So then maybe the fact that conservatives for the past couple of years have used wanting to protect the children as their shield to do literally everything they want to do. You would think maybe you would throw this in there just to add some plausible deniability. We'll see. Maybe I'll be wrong and they'll all be on board. But here's a little bit more of the call for conservatives and others to sign on.
I'm speaking up because this industry profits by silence, and those who need the most help are taking advantage of instead. I'm speaking up to end the cycle of trauma and abuse that runs rampant in these facilities. To Majority Leader Schumer and Speaker McCarthy, I ask that you please prioritize the Stop Institutional Child Abuse Act and pass the bill this year. To our elected officials who have the ability to stop these deaths and to end this abuse, I encourage you to co-sponsor this bipartisan legislation. Nelson Mandela once said, "There is no keener revelation of a society's soul than the way in which it treats its children." The introduction of this bill sends a resounding message that child abuse has no place in our society. We cannot continue to play politics with children's lives. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's a particularly timely quote, by the way, when you take like in totality how children have been brought into and then treated by politics over the past couple of years. But yeah, something needs to be done, obviously. This isn't some massive, you know, multi-hundred-billion-dollar like top-down dictatorial plan for every residential facility across the country. It is effectively saying we recognize and acknowledge the problem, and we're gonna get people with expertise in the area to figure out what we should do. That's almost literally the bare minimum, although unfortunately for Congress, a lot of the time the bare minimum is nothing at all. Any final thoughts, Brett?
Final thoughts are this, like this particular school has a history of legal troubles going back to pretty much right after it opened. They were reading people's mail, going through their stuff, using lie detectors on people. It's a treatment center, supposedly, for troubled youth. And the youth already have they have been through a lot by the time they get there. And what's particularly dastardly is that we want programs like this to work. And we need to be able to trust that they work. And in institutions like this and elderly care centers, far too often, they're underfunded, they're understaffed, and sometimes they're recipients of contracts that aren't properly vetted. And so the owners just have no business running a center like this. But due to various incentive structures, such as like just government contracts, and then also just like a for-profit healthcare industry, a lot of times money just gets thrown at people who have connections and not necessarily qualifications in running these kinds of things properly. And it makes you really, you know, for a lot of us, it means we should be paying a lot more attention to the kinds of reforms that we are pitching as a movement to make sure that those actually work. Because a lot of times there's just these buzzwords that enter into the conversation like, oh, let's just reform. But what does reform mean? And reform in these situations means better training, vetting these institutions, making sure that we have decent and humane conditions for the people that we should be the most decent and humane to, which is the young people who've been through a lot of terrible things and our elderly citizens.
I agree. And thank you for bringing up that other aspect of it, because yeah, we do see that in a lot of these different institutional settings. Okay, with that said, why don't we move on to one more topic as the hour races by. Thankfully, we have some extra time, I guess, in the final half hour of the show that we weren't expecting. So we're gonna see what happens. But anyway, buckle up, let's jump into this. Ron DeSantis is, according to reports, looking to make some moves when it comes to the presidential race. They say that he is about to jump into it in mid-May or so. Different reports say different times. But everyone seems to think, according to at least four different operatives in the Republican Party, that he is going to be jumping in mid-May. One of the sources said that it would be an exploratory committee with the official launch coming soon after. And to that I say, what is the game that we're playing at this point? What are you talking about? We already know that you've been thinking about running for years. You already basically are running. You're giving stump speeches. You're going to swing states. You're attacking Goofy and Donald Duck to try to become more popular. We know that you're running already. So now you're gonna do an announcement to do an exploratory committee, I guess, to see how much additional fire from the Republicans you take as a result of that before finally diving in. This is all pointless and drawn out, but also deeply, deeply cowardly. If you want to be president, just announce that you're going to be president. And if you have confidence that you can be president, then it is even more embarrassing that Florida actually went through with, I don't think it's finalized, but they passed another phase of it, allowing him to run for president without having to abdicate the throne of the governorship, which is of course a thing they'll do for him, but it is just a deeply embarrassing way to go about it because it shows how little confidence you have that you'll actually be the nominee, let alone the president. What do you think?
I get it. I get the spirit of what you're saying, but materially a lot of those rhetorical questions have answers. So an exploratory committee is a shell corporation that you essentially set up and you don't have to declare as many of the details of where your money comes from in that portion of the candidacy as you will when you eventually do become an official candidate for president. So this is an opportunity for him to kind of more officially put his toe in the waters, indemnify himself from any legal culpability that comes with weird campaign finance moves, and then just see for a while. Another answer to that question is, oh, it becomes realer. And in, I don't know, it's like the people who you know, there's a birthday and you want to celebrate the birthday and your schedule is busy, but they're like, we've got a birthday month, and they have a bunch of stuff to keep you excited and entertained about their birthday month. And they're horrible and terrible. That's kind of it. And then there's the opportunity that he will fall so far behind that he won't actually declare, which has happened previously in history. There have been multiple people, Ev Bai is one of them, where they just like, were like, I'll form an exploratory committee with full confidence that they will run for president. And then it just kind of fizzled because there was no way in hell. And yeah. What's hilarious, and this is, I think this is a strategic attempt. The timing is, the fact that this would happen was always, in my opinion, a given, but the timing of it happening is he was doing kind of well for a while before Trump started fighting him. And he hasn't really done anything material to fight back, except for maybe like this wishy-washiness about extradition if they ever like cooperation, if Trump was actually to be indicted. But hilariously, this is going to be an attempt with a potential like maybe I won't do it for a bunch of other reasons. I'll cite my wife's health or something like that for him to jump out of the race and see if fighting back even a little bit, even in spirit, works, which I can't imagine it doing because Trump is just going to pummel him. And Ron DeSantis is such a wiener beanie baby of a man that he just will not stand up to Trump. In the actual brass ring, people want him to be so good, so bad, but he's not that good a candidate.
Yeah, I think, look, anything can happen. I've been wrong with predictions before. I think we're all aware of that. But it really does seem like we already know enough. Trump, I don't even think, is throwing his full weight against DeSantis, and DeSantis is crumbling under it. I don't think that DeSantis has like a counterpunch in him in terms of the Constitution. He's just gonna stare awkwardly at the camera and then try to switch the conversation to be about Mickey Mouse or something. And so it really does feel like
he can't even beat a cartoon.
Yeah, he can't beat a whistling mouse. So since you are either not gonna run in the end or you're just gonna get whooped, then just like why are you dragging it out and making yourself look bad? Since you're gonna run screaming into the woods to get away from Donald Trump's vicious assault, just start running now. Like the longer you drag it out, the more it's clear that you really did want to fight him, but you just couldn't do it. So I mean, look, maybe there are incentives financially. Maybe he can raise a bunch of money or something and then not have to run, and then it's still around for the next time he runs or for something else. I mean, maybe there are financial reasons to pretend to be running, or maybe he just is so ambitious and or stupid that he's going to do it. I tune in to find out, I guess. By the way, if we could jump briefly to one or two things. Graphic 6, Donald Trump is apparently listening to insiders who are urging him to make DeSantis' VP pick, which maybe DeSantis would be okay with that. I don't think either of them would be okay with that. I don't think that Trump wants someone who is so ambitious one step below him. I think he doesn't even want someone as ambitious as Mike Pence, and Mike Pence still won't criticize the guy after he almost got him killed. And I don't think that DeSantis would want it either. He'd like to be on the national level. He'd like to be in the White House, but I have to imagine not like these. What do you think, Brett?
I don't know. The conventional wisdom is you never pick someone below you that, especially if you're Trump, I wouldn't think that he would pick someone below him that anyone could see as president because Trump is so easily triggered. But in terms of listening to people, he does listen to folks. And those folks have had so much time to learn Trump speak to kind of teach Trump how politics works that they might get him to think that it's a big win. And essentially he's like, you know, cucking DeSantis by making him his vice president. But typically it would only make sense if Trump needed DeSantis in some way to get out of the race against him. And that would imply that Trump is not confident he can clean the floor with DeSantis, which as the polls come in and, you know, DeSantis is down according to some of your graphics by 37 points.
Yeah, we can put up that last.
There's no reason. What is he going to unify the party? He already did.
Yeah.
And he already proved that people like Lindsey Graham will say, hey, he's a reprobate. I hate Donald Trump until Donald Trump wins a race. And then they're going to come back into the fold willingly anyway.
Yeah, and it's entirely possible that leading up to this, he might have been worried about Ron DeSantis, you know, back last November, December, whatever. He'd had all those endorsements that didn't go well, like DeSantis was beloved, but and we don't know. Maybe DeSantis has a secret weapon or whatever. He clearly doesn't. But anyway, we gotta take our break. When we come back, a lot more to get to. Trump getting real weird after this. Cody says, ask for permission after doing it. Well done, John. Yeah, I dropped an F-bomb. I apologize, everybody.
Social break.
I'm sorry.
All bets are off, my friends.
I know a lot of kids watch this show, so I apologize for that.
Robo was watching with mom the other day, and I kept making it real weird on Happy Half Hour. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, apologies, fact check. The guy I was referencing is not a CrossFit guru. He's a tantric sex guru. So I apologize for that. Anyway, with that said, why don't we jump into this?
Today, I'm going to do this, and I think this could be maybe the most important part of what I'm going to say, because this is going to be a major announcement. Are you ready? Is everybody ready? I will be retiring the name Crooked from Hillary Clinton and her moniker. And I'm going to give her a new name. I don't know, like maybe Lovely Hillary or Beautiful Hillary. But I'm going to retire the name Crooked so that we can use the name for Joe Biden, because he'll be known from now on as Crooked Joe Biden.
Oh my God, the race will never be the same. But that's what you just saw there, I think, is a little bit of good news and bad news for conservatives, for members of the MAGA movement. It's good news in that they love the idea of regularly being able to tweet at you that it's Crooked Joe or whatever. That's good news. And it's also sort of, I think, kind of objectively electorally good news, because it's easy to understand. You can apply almost anything you want to it. And clearly it has legs because they loved Crooked Hillary for literally years. The bad news for the MAGA movement is what you just saw is such a surrender by Donald Trump. He's giving the dude Crooked because, one, he couldn't come up with anything better that was new, and two, Sleepy didn't work last time around. And so none of this would be necessary if he either still had the juice or if his last strategy had remotely worked. It's just a reminder, really. Every time he calls him Crooked Joe, it's a reminder that he's not Sleepy Joe anymore, because Sleepy Joe whooped Donald Trump. What do you think, Brett?
I think it's so funny. It's like when someone reveals something they thought you cared about and you didn't. They're like, did you notice? I rotated the mugs in my display case 180 degrees. I don't care. That doesn't affect me. I am actually shocked and kind of impressed by how important you think this is. Sleepy Joe worked. Crooked Hillary worked. Crooked Joe just sounds kind of cool. It sounds like a guy who's a little like a pirate who runs like a pub somewhere. In you know, on the bay. Are you going to, can we meet down at Crooked Joe's Crab Shack later?
I would drink and get apps at Crooked Joe's Crab Shack.
Absolutely.
I could go for that.
Look, I have a new nickname for Trump and all the monikers he gives. Moniker Lewinsky.
Oh my God. Anyway, look, I think that it's for kind of incurious people who want their arguments to be made for them. It's a good nickname to throw on him, okay? Because it's easy. You can make Crooked Joe about literally anything. On the other hand, it bothers me so much because there is so much to legitimately criticize about Joe Biden, about Hillary Clinton, but the moniker of Crooked never encapsulates that stuff. Not the real stuff. It's always the fake stuff. Like how they're against fake pedophilia, but not the real pedophiles. Mm-hmm. Like they'll call him crooked for Hunter Biden's laptop or whatever, or you know, Hillary Clinton is crooked for I don't know, like having influenza or something and lying about it, but not for the real stuff they do. Not the real donations they get, what they deliver for the wealthy and corporations. It's the fake shallow version of crookedness. So it's a lost opportunity from a leftist point of view.
The best, I love Little Marco.
Final point.
Okay, go for it. But I love Little Marco. I love Lion Ted. Mm-hmm. Crooked Hillary sounded good, but Crooked Joe is a like Meatball Ron, Puddin' Fingers. I like those.
Yeah.
Stick to that.
I never thought that like low energy Jeb, I mean, it's evocative.
But low energy is mean. I'm trying to get Ted Cruz as a waterbed happening. Ted Cruz is a waterbed.
Weird. Anyway, it's gonna get even weirder here, but in an awful sort of way, everyone, so prepare yourself.
And this record stood woman's record for years, 19 years or something. And she got over the barbell. They put like a little tiny ounce on one side, ounce on the other. This thing was, if you beat it by an ounce, you have the world record. And she got up there and, should I do it? She couldn't do it.
She couldn't and he didn't have to. But just so that you have a little bit more empathy for the experience that Melania Trump has unfortunately occasionally had to experience, let's hear that again. Okay, the slow-mo got even me. No mansion is worth that. I'm sure of it.
Anyway. I can't deny it. I like the guy. It makes me like the guy.
God, it's the Riley Reid meme. Anyway,
I still don't know what is happening.
So here is what's happening, and this is what unfortunately takes all of the fun out of this. What he is talking about is, well, what he eventually for what passes for stream of consciousness is himself into is he had been talking about transgender women in sports, of course. That's what they talk about, attacking people, transphobia, all of that. Then he starts talking about a cisgender woman trying to set a world record, and that's him demonstrating. Like again, remember, all of the transgender like sports stuff is supposed to be about their deep and unending respect for women's sports. And he decided, no, I'm going to make fun of this woman trying to set a world record. And by the way, like the idea of him trying to lift literally anything or whatever, and he's mocking competitive athletes at the like Olympic level. Anyway, Brett, that's the context for what it's worth, which isn't much.
That's so ridiculous that it can be entertaining. Is that mm-hmm. what, you know what I mean? Like it's not even nefarious anymore because normal people watching that moment don't know the backstory. People that were already lost
That's
true. To the MAGA movement, they're in there. They just want to be happy anyway. They like the guy making weird, silly faces. He's basically becoming Jim Brewer. Just don't do that until you beat DeSantis, and then go do that. You know, trying to lift weights number again, you weirdo.
Yeah, I saw somebody said a similar thing, but I had seen, I think Farron Cousins tweeted that video out earlier, and I was just imagining this is him like this is how he would try to drink a glass of water with one hand. It's difficult, admittedly. But anyway, just gross stuff. How much time do we have, by the way?
30 seconds.
We have 30 seconds. Okay, well, almost perfect timing. Yeah, he attacks EVs as well. This guy's an absolute disaster. We can laugh about it, but by the way, remember, he potentially will be in control of a lot of this in a year and a half. Anyway, with that said, thank you to everybody watching Linear Platforms, listening on the podcast. We really appreciate your support. But don't you worry. I know that out there, there's many of you who want more news. We've got that for you, and we'll be delivering it after this. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.